The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
What is going on, y'all? We are back. Another edition of No Bets Barred, this time UFC Mexico. The promotion heads to Mexico City. We get a rematch in the main event. Brandon Moreno taking on Brandon Royval. It's the Battle of the Brandons. Winner gets to walk away with the name. Or I guess we'd have to do a trilogy to see who is King Brandon in this weight class. Jed Meshew joins us from parts unknown. Oh, unless what?
I would say, unless Brandon Moreno wins, in which case, then he definitively has the rights to the name.
Yeah, then he is for sure Brandon of the flyweight division. Like I said, Jed joining us from parts unknown. Just way off the map here. Still repping Atlanta United behind him. But
always
out in the deep, out in the wild is Jed here.
On location, ready to help bring to life another exclusive from the MMA Fighting brand, the MMA Fighting team. Not my secret to reveal, so I won't be revealing it, but rest assured it will come out soon, and I think you're going to love it. But in the meantime, what has happened is I'm not using my normal mic or setup, so sorry if the audio is not as good. And not super prepared this week, Connor. Not going to lie to you, man. Playing real vibes bets this week on not just UFC Mexico. Let's not forget, buddy. Little card out there called PFL versus Bellator Battle of the Champions.
It is a little card. That is a fact. And it's not a little price, though. It's not a little price to tune in. $50. 50 bones, 50 clams, whatever you want to call it. 50 smackers to get that sucker on your TV. I will be watching.
You got opportunity to watch Ryan Bader fight Renan Fajeda, Imper Kasanganay versus Johnny Eblen, and you get Ray to see Cooper, Jason Jackson.
You get to see all these fights everyone has been asking for a long time, and you get to see that belt with the ring inside of it, because we need an additional belt, the merger belt. That's great. I know the fans are stoked to hear that you are not prepared. That's right up the alley of what you want to hear going into a betting podcast.
All year long. So,
speaking of, how did you do last week?
My worst week of the year. Honestly, I'm actually happy about it. And this is some mental gymnastics here.
The previous
3 or 4 weeks, however many weeks we've done this prior to 298, I had been losing by like a quarter unit, a tenth of a unit. It had just been one fight from going there. And I was like, this is just annoying. I maybe I should have placed one too many bets, whatever. Last week, dropped three and some change units. Don't feel bad about any of the bets, but they were all wrong. It's basically what happened. I mean, the Henry Cejudo bet, I was feeling exceptional about that coming out of the first round. It was exactly like I said. I was like, it's a three-round fight. Henry's going to win that first one. He's just got to win the second one. Super didn't win the second one, but I felt like the process was there. Roman Kopylov, not Dolidze. Too many Romans in the middleweight division. It's like, hey, Roman Kopylov fends off the takedowns. He fended off a lot of the takedowns. He was hammering Fluffy Hernandez in there. And then it all went to crap. Alexander Volkanovski. I was like, I think he's just going to have too much style. Just too much style here. He's gonna kick the legs. And this is too soon. For 7 minutes, I was like, I've nailed this. I have nailed this. And then boom goes the dynamite. Yeah. Just every one of my fights, I was right until I was calamitously wrong.
Yeah, I mean, that, especially that Roman Kopylov fight. Like, I was like, is he just going to stuff every takedown for 15 minutes? Like, he was.
It looked like it.
He was stuffing the hell out of those. And then they put up the stat, like, he has now stuffed like 24 straight takedowns. I was like, my God, what did I get into? And then, yeah, I was a little worried going into round two for Merab. And me and the aforementioned Mike Heck, we were talking on the watch party right before the fight started. And Henry Cejudo plus 3.5 points, where you add up the judges' scorecard. So he essentially just has to win one round on all three judges' scorecards, was just minus 120 going into that fight. I was like, if I did not have a bet on Merab, I would be hammering that. And then, like, first round ends, I just looked at Mike. I was like, well, you can all but cash that plus 3.5 at this point. Like, even if he loses this fight, it's going to hit. But yeah, Merab turned it on. And then, yeah, main event. It was looking pretty good until it wasn't. And then it was not looking good.
I felt so good about it. There's like the first round's competitive round. I felt so good about it. It's in the second round. I was doing the live blog for the site and I was like, Volk is starting to assert himself. He's starting to pull away. Topuria cannot find the right hand anymore. He was having some success early. Volk has adjusted. He is just not there to be hit. And Topuria is going to need to figure out something new to get his offense off. And what he figured out was, I'm just going to YOLO at him and put him against the fence. And he can't evade me if his back's against the fence. And here comes the boom. It was so sudden and so violent. And I felt like that was all of them were there. And again, you know, big losing week and three units down is tough. I don't feel that bad because all of them, I knew how I could lose. And it just happened that I rolled wrong on all of them. Mackenzie Dern, we sat here, we talked about it. I told you exactly what would happen. Mm. And it did. It played out exactly. I was like, Dern's going to have some moments. She's going to get it to the floor. She's going to look like, oh my goodness, this is the Mackenzie Dern. Yeah. And me and Shaheen Al-Shadi talked about it afterwards. And we're like, this is not the one to get us off. Like, we are the last two people believing in Mackenzie Dern. And I, for the first 3 minutes, I was like, oh, Amanda Lemos is killing her. And then she just did Mackenzie Dern things. And I was like, I can't quit her. I'm going to bet on her again the next time she's up and I'm going to keep losing money.
Oh, God. Just a couple of things. Yeah. I mean, the Topuria, right. The scariest part about it might be that the left was like a centimeter from hitting as well. And just like,
it was, supposed to be the kill shot.
He was already completely out. And that left almost connected and just like would have just ripped any semblance of consciousness away from Volk. It was, dude has scary power. Secondly, I mean, I don't think, like, Flywood Unders, I am incredibly proud of. The Mackenzie Dern fade might be also like my second proudest gimmick. It's just like, I see Mackenzie Dern, I bet against Mackenzie Dern. And I mean, it's paid dividends. It has paid dividends.
Everyone has always said that you're the smarter man than me, and you can really boil it down strictly to our stances on Mackenzie Dern, because I can't quit her for whatever reason. I can't do it. I'm still not doing it.
I don't know how.
If she could just get with a team, she could just get with American Kickboxing Academy and just learn how to commit to the good parts of her offense, she'd be a world champion, and I can't quit it. It's so dumb of me. But, I mean, just, you know, I'll just keep giving you money every time she fights Connor.
I mean, she's tough and she has fun fights. Like, I enjoy Mackenzie Dern fights.
Super tough, very durable. Like, super very durable.
Yeah, dude, I thought she was going to get put out there.
Yeah, world-class ground game and just can't put it all together. But I can see the good parts and I can't quit her. Can't do it.
Best of luck to you moving forward. It was actually the inverse for me. Best week of the year, up over five units. Feeling good. Feeling good headed into UFC Mexico, ready to lose it all because this is my Super Bowl. UFC Mexico over here, this is my Super Bowl. I mentioned it to you. Five flyweight fights on this bad boy, including the main event. We're also at elevation of 7,400 feet. Everyone likes to talk about elevation when we're at Salt Lake. That's only 4,200. We're at almost double the elevation. So I think things are going to get weird. I think things are going to get crazy. Five flyweight fights. In one of them, Brandon Royval, flyweight under Hero. In another one of them, flyweight under King, Daniel Da Silva. In another one, Denis Bondar, who has not gone to a decision in 18 of his 19 fights. And then in the other two, you have a man fighting out of shoot the box. This is my Super Bowl.
Let me just say, you know, on other programs, not usually this one, but other programs, I tend to give the UFC matchmakers a lot of grief. I think deservedly so. A-plus work from them here, going to Mexico City and not putting any heavyweights on it. I personally was very excited about the prospect of heavyweight overs in Mexico City, because heavyweight overs in Mexico City, you just got to clear 3 minutes and they're both too gassed to finish the other. But instead, we're going to get awesome flyweight fights one after the other after the other. I do have a topic of conversation when we get to one of these fights, because I'm curious about one of them, but
I can't wait. I can't wait because I have a spin zone for all of them. I have a defensive spin zone for everything.
I love the spin zone. I'm excited to hear it. But if this is your Super Bowl, my Super Bowl is PFL versus Bellator. I mean, it's the biggest card of the year. It's two promotions, champ versus champ versus champ. Yes, we've taken some hits. We've lost some fights. But it's great because you can have both. You get to have your cake and eat it too this weekend. Because PFL versus Bellator, that's firing off at like noon Eastern, something like that. I think their pay-per-view starts, like the main card should start at like 4 or 5. So it should be wrapping up. Maybe there might be some overlap with the early prelims, but there won't be a ton of overlap.
That's why we got two TVs.
And there just won't be a ton of overlap. So you can go main course PFL versus Bellator and then just have the tastiest flyweight dessert with the UFC in Mexico afterwards. So it's going to be a great weekend.
Oh, it will be. I am facing a bit of an issue. 10 p.m. main card start for UFC Mexico. Sign up for a 5K that kicks off at 8 a.m. the next morning. That's a little tough bit of a trek to get there as well. So, yeah, I'm going to be popping out of bed at about 5:15, 5:30. So, just a quick nap.
Big running weekend because the Atlanta Marathon is this weekend. I was going to run it, and then unforeseen circumstances, not doing that anymore. But I'm also down in Florida right now, and where I'm staying, my buddies are running a half marathon Saturday. Big running weekend, the first week.
Shout out to them. The race I'm doing is also a half marathon, but I was like, nah, been there, done that. I'll take the 5K and head to brunch. Appreciate y'all, though. PFL Bellator, UFC Mexico City. We're going to keep this train moving. There is one bet on PFL Bellator that I got a sneaky suspicion.
It's also a KSW card too, just saying.
KSW Epic. I won't have any bets there, but KSW Epic. There's one bet on the PFL Bellator card that I have a sneaking suspicion we're both going to have. And if we do, it'll be a very exciting moment. But let's get in to UFC Mexico City. Let's start with the main event, flyweight fight, baby. Brandon Moreno taking on Brandon Royval. This is a rematch from a fight that happened just a couple years ago. Royval injured his wrist. You know, but a TKO win nonetheless for Brandon Moreno in the very first round. And right now, Moreno is minus 270. Royval coming back at plus 220. I mean, shout out to Raw Dog. Like, fought for the belt back in December, was unfortunately unable to get it. Steps in on short notice to take tied for the toughest or just barely the second toughest fight in the division behind Alejandro Pantoja right now. I mean, Brandon Moreno is no joke in there, never been finished. And Royval is a guy that is very dependent on getting finishes, especially in the UFC octagon. curious to see this one. I think Moreno gets it done. I think since their last fight, both guys have improved, but I think Moreno has especially improved. But let's get to the more important, the meatier part of this. Are we really going to get a back-to-back Brandon Royval five-round decision? I think not.
I love that confidence. I am betting that we are not going to get that. I am betting the under because this is flyweight unders.
I thought you were taking a decision right here off the rip on main event. I was going to have to end the podcast right there.
I would never do that to you. I will say this is the one I am the second most concerned about. I think because Brandon Moreno versus Alejandro Pantoja, I think I was certainly on the under. I really just thought, okay, it's Brandon Royval. The man is the definition of get or get got. And Alejandro Pantoja has been a finisher of very few equals lately. And instead we saw Brandon Royval not like turtle and play defense, but just could not get finished. Pantoja was trying in there, couldn't do it. Brandon Royval's defense has clearly come a long way. Looking at it objectively, I would say there's a pretty decent chance that Moreno just controls this fight, but Royval has become too tough to get finished the way he has previously. But that's not where I'm betting. I'm obviously betting the under. I mean, come on, what are we doing here if we're not betting the under on the main event of flyweight Saturday night?
Yeah, of the flyweight Super Bowl. A counterpoint to that, they went to the back. They were like, hey, Brandon, you know, just wanted to review the tape on the Pantoja fight. Brandon Royval, that is. I think we were too defensive. I think that was our issue. We were too defensive here. We're going to need to just open it up. We're just going to need to go balls to the wall. That's how we do it, all right? We tried the defense. We tried being careful. It didn't work for us. Now we want to get back to the title shot. What's the best way to do it? Balls to the wall. Let's go get the first finish ever recorded on Brandon Moreno's record right here, and let's do it in front of his home crowd. How's that sound, Raw Dog? And he said, that sounds fantastic. Where do I sign up for that? And that's just what's going to happen. Royval, 8 of his last 10. I've not seen the scorecards. Hasn't been in back-to-back decisions in like 6 years. We ain't going 10 rounds of Raw Dog. I'm not doing it. We're seeing a finish here. I'm speaking this into existence.
I mean, I've bet that way, so I certainly hope. Let's manifest it. You know, Kyle,
Moreno has finishing capabilities too. I mean, four of his last seven.
He's a very good finisher.
Yeah, so I'm going
Kyle's
to say.
Gonna be hyped. That's energy is going to be all there. Let's ride.
I'm going to point to that crowd a lot this time. I got faith in this Mexico City crowd. I think this crowd is going to be on fire, and we are stacked the gills with Mexican fighters as well.
Can I ask you an important question here?
Please do it.
A little teaser ahead of the MMA hour. You know, I know you've been talking about, you know, lately doing the cuisine of the pay-per-view cities. Is Mexico City getting the Conor Burke's cuisine special?
Oh, Mexico City's getting the special. Don't you worry. I already got the menu picked out. The thing is, like,
That's good eats.
Oh, good eats, dude. Mexican food, especially like the real deal, authentic stuff, is just a magical experience. Been doing it my whole life. You live in Atlanta. You ever been to Nuevo Laredo?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, God. Fantastic establishment. I got my place picked out up here. Been several times. It's the real deal. I'm talking family owned and operated. This is no posh Manhattan BS. This is the real deal. The hardest thing is you can only do so many food items. And like it's about whittling it down because there's so many options when it comes to Mexican cuisine. I mean, it's just it's a laundry list, extensive list of things.
Fortunately, you know that they're going to be doing Noche 2, so you're going to get another crack at this later. You don't have to double up. You can spread it out. And for the Atlanta heads, I'll be doing El Tesoro. It's just a tasty little spot that's not too far away from where I live.
I love it.
I'll be firing that up because, I mean, you got to for this. I thought about, like, is there a Saudi Arabian restaurant around me in Atlanta that I can go for the PFL Bellator? But, you know, maybe we'll save the Riyadh special for later, you know, not this weekend.
We can do Riyadh special when the UFC goes there. No offense to Saudi Arabian food at all. You know, I haven't really experienced it much, but Mexican stuff to beat. If I'm choosing between Mexican and another type of cuisine, it's going to be tough to beat it out. I'm looking forward to trying the Riyadh food. When we get to June, that's going to be great. But yeah, we will see. Yeah. I mean, if you're not ordering a couple tacos out past store, you know,
that's my language right there.
Putting back some jarritos come Saturday. I mean, you're just doing it wrong, folks. I can tell you that much. And the best part about Mexican food, every city's got one. Doesn't matter if you're in middle of nowhere, Kansas, or you're in New York City, or you're in Atlanta, you're going to be able to find some Mexican food.
If you're in the United States, I've traveled a decent amount, okay, and true. Mexican outside of the United States and or South America or Central America is garbage. It's just actual garbage.
True.
So
at the end of the day, I'm going with Fight Does Not Go to the Decision, and I'm using Brandon Moreno as a parlay piece.
I've just taken the under, and I am also using Brandon Moreno as a parlay piece. I think he gets it done again.
Look at us.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down. And new customers to DraftKings can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right, let's go to the co-main event. Featherweight bout Yair Rodriguez taking on Brian T-City Ortega. Right now, Yair -162, Brian Ortega coming back at +136. I have a sneaking suspicion you're going to be taking Yair Rodriguez here.
How did you know? What gave it away, Connor?
I had just a tiny inkling that you would be doing that.
Is it that I think Brian Ortega isn't very good at fighting, and I enjoy Yair Rodriguez, and it's in Mexico, and of course I'm taking Yair Rodriguez in this one?
So I've already mentioned that this is my Super Bowl for a plethora of reasons. The five flyweight fights. We're going to get some great eats. which is a fantastic reason. It was revealed on the show yesterday, Juliana Pena, if she misses her Parlay Boys pick this week, she's out of the Parlay Boys. I mean, there's so much
riding on this. Bold choice from her last week. +200 underdog is bold choice.
I thought the same for a four-leg parlay, as well as sitting on an Anthony Hernandez ticket, one of my biggest bets of the night. I definitely thought the same. I was at the first one. If you didn't know that this is actually a rematch, first one happened back in July of 2022.
I forgot you were there.
First and only UFC event I've ever attended. Still got the poster hanging in my room right now. Just to set the scene, great weekend. First UFC event. Happened to be falling on my birthday. The actual card, it was on my birthday. Had a couple people in town. Had like a squad of 10 people go out to Long Island. All week I'd been talking up, I'm riding with Brian Ortega. I got nasty numbers on his sub props. I got him by sub at like +475. And then I had round 2, 3, and 4 at like +3,000. I was all in, hyping up. I was like, if Brian Ortega gets this choke in, I mean, we're eating good. We're smoking cigars, yada, yada, yada. Have a great betting night up until the main event. Have all the Brian Ortega props. Had a parlay finishing on the over 1.5. I mean, it was easy street for me. Super hyped up. And then the injury happened, and it was devastation. I mean, I was just like, jaw hit the floor. It was just like such a deflating feeling. And then I had to get back on the damn Long Island Railroad and ride it all the way back into the city. It just had to, you know, sit with my fate. I was like, man, first ever main event and we end in an injury. So this is my get back. This is my get back. I talked about how much I was on Brian Ortega. I'm doing it again. I am firmly
little man. You're firmly believing little man.
I am going to be on an island on this one. I don't think many people are going to ride with me. Took him at plus 160, and the number is actually coming down. So there are a couple believers in T-City out there. I mean, he was a minus 175 last time, got injured. Now he's a plus 160 or plus 145, whatever he's at right now. Years 1-1 since then. I know one of them was against Alexander Volkanovski. We have seen Brian Ortega take an elongated period off and come back and look very good. So it is possible that he has a little resurgence here. Don't love the matchup on the feet, but if he gets to the ground, I like his chances. This is my get back. I have to stare at that poster every night. Sometimes I wake up and look at it, and I'm just like, what could have been? What could have been?
Look, I understand the impulse, the emotion behind this, but he's a brittle man. He's just obvious. His body fell apart, and that was without Yair even really trying to hurt him. Now Yair is going to get in there. He's get another opportunity to put this man away. And again, I can't stress this enough. Brian Ortega sucks. So we stand opposed here, good sir. We stand
That's
opposed.
All right. This is actually all right because I'm seeing the entire world on Yair Rodriguez. I mean, it really feels like I'm on an island. But that number ain't really budging. Like I'm expecting like on the sharpest book I know right now, Yair Rodriguez minus 148, Brian Ortega plus 128. I mean, I'm hearing free money on Yair Rodriguez this weekend. So I will be riding with the dog. I mean, I look at his Instagram.
Free
looks
money
ready to go.
Is a bit much.
He
I
looks ready to
free
go.
Free money is a bit much.
I'm just saying, people are telling me it's free money. Free money on D-City.
You left out your best argument, which is I'm on Yair Rodriguez and I'm pretty cold this year. So if you're listening at home, Connor's probably more right than I am based on how this year's going.
We'll see. Let's keep it rolling to another man that has given issue in the past. And that's Daniel Zellhuber taking on Francisco Prado. Right now, Zellhuber minus 270.
One time.
Prado plus 220.
Zellhuber burned us.
He burned me twice. I bet on him, lost, bet against him, lost.
Oh.
But then I was on him last time. So I have righted the ship. I think he gets it done here. I think he wins. I mean, Prado's got big power, but he's super green, and he is at a massive reach disadvantage. This kind of just feels like Zellhuber's just gonna stay at range and just kind of outpoint him on way to a decision. I think he also has the grappling advantage. I think the only way, like, I feel like this gets dicey for Zellhuber if it turns into a brawl.
I mean, for sure. Prado he hits like a hammer. But Zellhuber, I mean, never been knocked out. much larger person. I just love this fight. I love everything. This is peak matchmaking. Two young dudes coming in here going to chuck
young.
Them. It's going to be all, like, very, very young. Like, these are very likely the kind of future of this weight class. Some people don't like that. They're meeting too early. I love it. I love what we're about to get. This is one of my favorite fights of the weekend. And I am backing Zellhuber. He's in a three-leg parlay with Brandon Moreno. And I got one more leg coming up, which you might be able to guess. But, yeah, I agree with you. I think he's just bigger. He has more tools. I like Prado a lot, but he's a bit of a one-trick pony at this point in his time.
Yeah, I think Zellhuber gets it done as well. Let's keep it rolling. To an American hero, a Mexican hero. And that is 19-year-old Raul Rosas Jr. He is taking on Ricky Tercios right now. Raul, your favorite, minus 230. Tercios, plus 190. And if you aren't familiar, zigged when others zagged last time against Terrence Mitchell. Raul Rosas Jr., KO plus 500, KO round one plus 1,000. It was truly a special moment. I had him in a couple parlays. It was a magical experience. I don't hit those often. I promise you I don't hit those often. So Raul did me a solid one here. Not doing anything crazy like that.
I was supposed to say, you're back your boy again?
Oh, I'm backing him. Don't you worry. I'm backing him on -3.5 points at even money. Tercio's takedown defense is not good.
It's not good.
When his opponents in the UFC, four fights, if you include contender series, when his opponents have attempted a takedown, he's been taken down 6 times and 7 times, respectively. 7 by Kevin Natvidad, 6 by Brady Hystan. I know we got the knockout last time, Raul, but it just feels like let's go back to basics. Let's just chain wrestle and let's just try to get a sub and get out of there.
Yeah, firm agree. I like Ricky Teresios, but this is probably a pretty bad style matchup for him. I am waiting for the day that I get to fade Raul Rosas Jr. because it's coming. Like it's coming. But today is
we headed in the C-Rod fight.
True. But today is not that day. I think. Did I fade Raul Rosas in that fight? I don't remember if I did or not.
I did not, but I didn't bet on him. I was like, C-Rod's.
I might have. I'd have to go back and check the tape.
It just kind of feels like, dude, you put the 19-year-old American Mexican in Mexico City. He's gonna walk out with the green and white and red sombrero. Let's give him a matchup that's favorable for him.
Yeah, I think they know what they're doing here. And that's why he is the third leg to my Mexican hero parlay. Brandon Moreno, Zell Huber, and Raul Rosas Jr. pays out plus 150. Those three legs pays out plus 150. That's a pretty good price. So
I like it. Let's keep it rolling to a strawweight bout. Yasmin Yaragui taking on Sam Hughes. Right now, Yaragui, your biggest favorite on the card, minus 535. Sam Hughes coming back at plus 400. This kind of feels like a mismatch. This feels like they're setting up Yaragui for a dub here. Think she's just kind of steamroll Sam Hughes. Think she's live for a finish, too. 7 over 10 wins by KO. Don't really rate Sam Page too high. But also, I don't love the chin of Yasmin. Reminder, just I was on Denise Gomes plus 300 last time out, 20-second knockout. Just want to throw that out there. And then she was dropped in the fight before that, too. Don't know if Sam Page is the girl to check her again, but could get dicey. I feel like Yasmin rolls and gets a finish. And, I took a little stab on the under 2.5, plus 205.
Ooh, we're opposed again. I'm on the over 2.5. You know my policy.
I do.
Said it pretty clearly this year. I'm taking overs
women
all
can't
year long
finish
on
fights.
Women.
I know. You always say it.
Just statistically, 2023 did not have a lot of finishes in the women's division. More so than that, I do think Yasmin Yaragui is going to win this fight. But Sam Hughes is real tough. She's been finished once, and that was not a TKO. That was a doctor stoppage from an eye injury against Tisha Torres. I mean, she can wear it a little bit. So even if Yasmin's having a good day, I think Sam Hughes is tough enough to kind of withstand that for a while. So great price, minus 210, just an expert bet. But I'm betting the overs every time it's reasonable. And thus far, it's been working out for me. So I'm going to keep riding that train.
Yeah. Yasmin, you know, get on the horse, get the knockout. I just hope that it's more close to a finish than my Miranda Maverick inside the distance bet last week, because that was just atrocious. It was one of those bets where like there's bets where you take the under and it's just like that never even came remotely close to being finished. That was a terrible bet.
That was a tough one. Whereas one of my bets that did cash was the Limoges Dern. I took the over, and boy, I had to sweat that for a hot minute.
Wow. That was a dicey one.
I was sweating. I was like, Dern, just hold on. Just do whatever you can. I need you to make it 30 more seconds.
Yeah, that was dicey. Speaking of fights that probably going to be sweating if you're taking the over, let's move to the final fight on the main card. Manuel Torres taking on Chris Duncan. And right now, Manuel Torres, your favorite, minus 166, Duncan plus 140. I mean, this is a banger. This is a banger. It's a Manuel Torres fight, so it is a banger. 16 fights for the kid. 15 ended in the first round. This is lightweight Daniel Da Silva, except Manuel Torres wins. I mean, this is just a slobber knocker. Chris Duncan, not as prolific with the finishes, but like he's been wrestling lately. He needs to get back to his roots. He needs to get back to being a slobber knocker fighter. We've seen it happen. The Slava Claus fight on Contender Series. Who else did he fight? He got dropped by Charlie Campbell three times before fighting back and getting the dub. Scottish, slobber knocker, loving, son of a gun. Chris Duncan, remember your roots. I think he's going to be forced to remember him here, honestly. I don't think Manuel Torres is going to allow this to be a boring fight. I trust the durability of Manuel Torres more. I trust the finishing capability of Manuel Torres more. And I think he gets it done. Going Manuel Torres, using the under 2.5 as a parlay piece. Very excited for this one.
I think this fight could be fun. I won't say should, because what does scare me off is since he's gotten into the UFC, Chris Duncan's been a little less fun. You know, he got wrestling. Got a little tighter, just really wants to hold you for a while.
That's my worst. That's my worst case scenario here is if Chris Duncan just puts on a lay and pray clinic.
Yeah, and you know, if this were him coming off the Contender Series, I'd be right there with bells on. But the last two fights have just not been that same Chris Duncan. Hopefully, the Mexican crowd will get you up. You know, get him wanting to feel the juices, get in there, mix it up. But I just passed on this one because I'm a little scared of him. What he might.
All right, let's roll on to the prelims. Christian Quiñones taking on Haoni Barcelos. Right now, Barcelos, your favorite, -185. Quiñones coming back at +154. We've spoken about it multiple times in this podcast. We got love for Haoni Barcelos. The wrestling and BJJ credentials, just the whole MMA picture of this guy's career. I mean, he has basically been fighting since birth. It's truly unbelievable what he's been able to accomplish in his career. The only unfortunate part about that is he's getting older. He's almost 37. He's fighting at 35 still. 1-4 in his last five. Like he is out of his prime. And for that reason, I'm not riding with him here. But I also don't trust Christian Quiñones either. He's been finished in all four of his losses. This is a fight that I'm staying away from on a side, but I will be taking the under 2.5. Barcelos, more of a decision guy, but I think Quiñones pushes the pace. And I think both dudes are live to get finished. So under 2.5 for me on this one.
Interesting. I think to me, this was just a dog or pass fight. Like you, I'm not sold on Quiñones. But look, Henry Cejudo at 36, competitive against Merab, but I think watching that fight, and I've watched a couple of times, he's pretty clearly past his prime. And that, we're talking Olympic gold medalist, world-class athlete, Henry Cejudo. Haoni Barcelos, he just doesn't have the same juice that he once did. So going to be a guy I either fade or just avoid. And against Quiñones, I don't feel confident enough to fade Barcelos with him. So staying away.
All right, let's keep it rolling to the flyweight circuit for the next five fights. Four of the next five fights are flyweight fights. Let's start with Jesus.
Do we need to break them down?
So, like the way that I should talk about them, let's just say the names and why we're taking the under on them. So, Jesus Aguilera and Mateus Mendonca, or Mendonça, he is Brazilian. I'm on the under 2.5 at -150. So just like a couple things here. I cannot confirm. I've been scouring the earth, everyone that I know in Brazil, to try and confirm this. If we are getting blue-haired Mateus, last Instagram post was brown hair. Maybe he's waiting to get to Mexico before he dyes the hair blue. Feel like if we get the blue hair, the chance of the fight ending inside the distance goes up about 50%. If he's neon blonde, I feel like it goes up like 80%, and like we're really cooking with gas at that point. I feel like if it's neon blonde, this fight is getting finished for sure. Shoot box guy, 12 fights. Four have gone to a decision, but then the other eight were first round finishes. I mean, it's all or nothing for him. And then Aguilar, five of his last six have not gone to a decision. Both his UFC fights so far ended in the first round.
I mean, most of his fights are getting finished. Now, one or two of them were like a little later because he was fighting like five rounds in some of these fights in the regional. But Aguilar is a guy who was going to snatch up a limb, snatch up a neck if you're getting into rolls. So I love the under here. I'm also on it, of course.
Let's go. Let's keep it rolling. Edgar Chaires, Daniel Lacerda, De Silva, whatever you want to call him. Third time we're talking about this one.
Easy breakdown.
Yeah, don't really need to get into it. Daniel De Silva is our flyweight king. Man has never seen a third round. 16 fights, 13 have ended in the first round. Chiarez, 15 of his fights, 12 ended inside the distance. Thought we got the cash on Noche UFC, wasn't meant to be. Then it gets rebooked, then it's canceled, and now here we are. It's the under 1.5. We got to ride at least one under 1.5 here. Also parlayed up the under 2.5 just to really plant my flyweight under flags in this one.
Oh, wow. The double stack.
If I want to lose, I want to lose hard.
I'm just on the 1.5, but I mean, we know what this is. We already saw most of this fight. We know what Lacerda, Da Silva, whatever is doing. He's doing God's work for us and all of flyweight understand.
I didn't want to talk too much about the elevation this week. You know, because like, it's just a fact of the matter. But Daniel Da Silva has like 3 minutes of cardio. I wonder what it's going to be like at 7,400 feet.
Like probably 3 minutes. The fall off will be even worse.
Yeah.
Even more calamitous for him. So
yeah, so let's get a little double hitter action on that one. Next up, Claudio Puelles versus Fariz Zayam. This is a lightweight fight. This is the bathroom break during the flyweight circuit. I have nothing on this one. And if you do have something, you better be pulling up the ESPN app while you go to the bathroom because you need to get back in the seat for the next two flyweight barn burners.
Yeah, nothing on this one. It's not, I mean, Fariz Zayam is not the most exciting dude to watch unless he's getting ghosted by Terrence McKinney. Claudio Puelles actually can be in pretty fun fights, but nothing on this one.
He's either in fun fights or he's butt scooting for knee bars.
It's one or the other. He's an all or nothing in a very different kind of way.
All right, the next flyweight fight we want to talk about, Luis Rodriguez taking on Denis Bondar. If you're looking on Tapology, Bondar is 19-4. That is not the case. Kind of a sketchy record. A lot of 0-0s on there. 6 0-0s, and then 13 fights against dudes with less than 5 fights. Just not so sure about it. If you go on UFC and you go on SureDog, he is 14-4. And of those 18 fights, 17 have not gone to a decision. He rarely does. Actually, 16 have not gone to a decision, but then I'm counting the last one because he got murdered. He was out cold. The fact that that was counted as a technical decision is absolutely ridiculous. Should have been a finish there. So I'm just counting it. That one's going to be tough to come back from because he definitely took some heavy damage in that one. And then on the flip side, Luis Lazy Boy Rodriguez, 6 of his last 9, no decision. UFC debut in front of the Mexican crowd. I mean, he's going to be on go. The crowd's going to push him through this. This is a finish.
For sure. I honestly considered just placing a bet on Luis Rodriguez blindly, but I haven't had a time to actually like really dive into him. Be like, oh, is this a good wager? So not, but his price is good, and all of the ancillary stuff really lines up for him to get a W impressively. So if I get some time to watch a little bit more of his regional work and be like, hell yeah, I like this dude, I might take a shot on him. But obviously, we're on the under.
Obviously. I actually took fight does not go to a decision, +105.
Okay.
Same thing for the next one. Victor Altamirano taking on Felipe Dos Santos. Dos Santos out of shoot box. This one's a little bit more concerning.
This Altamirano. Is where I have the question.
So you want me to sell you on it?
I do, because previously I talked to you last week, in fact, about heavyweight overs and how what I think I'm going to do is when there is a known enemy of the heavyweight over state, when there's a Jailton Almeida fighting,
right?
You know, when there's Tommy Aspinall fighting, we're just, you know, he is persona non grata, so he is not involved in the heavyweight overs. Victor Altamirano he has made a strong case to be banned from flyweight.
He's on the watch list. There's no doubt he's on the watch list.
I think he's on the no-fly list, personally. But that's where you got to sell me on this.
Here's the sales pitch. If I wanted to keep it brief, if I wanted to make it long story short, this is the Super Bowl flyweight unders. We're taking every flyweight under. It's just that simple. I mean, throw a shekel on a big number, +170 fight doesn't go to a decision. That's just what you're going to have to do. You're just going to have to man up and ride this one. All right. We got 5 flyweight fights. We're not sitting one out. Okay. It's just that easy. Grab your boots, strap up, and get ready for war here. The actual sales pitch that I'll make to you is this. Felipe Dos Santos, He's fighting out of shoebox. I don't care about his record. I don't care about how many fights he's had go to a decision, how he's never been finished. He's fighting out of shoebox. And guys fighting out of shoebox tend to not go to decisions. It's just there's something in the water down there. And Charles Oliveira is brewing it up. And he gives it to all his cronies, everyone that he trains with. And they just don't go to decision. Three straight decisions for him, he's due for a finish. They're saying that on the flight over right now. They're like, yo, Felipe, you're due for a finish, bro. He's like, I know. On the flip side of that, Victor Altamirano does have a finish in the UFC, but here's the thing. Here's what pushed me over the line. You know where Victor Altamirano was born?
Not off the top of my head, I do not. It's Mexico City.
Ciudad de Mexico. Ciudad de Mexico, Mexico City, hometown kid in front of the hometown crowd. You think he doesn't want to get a finish? And by the way, he is the first Mexican fighter up. We got the Naimov Silva fight, kind of just a little warm up.
So he sets the tone.
He sets the tone. It's going to be the first time this crowd sees a Mexican fighter, and I think they're going to blow the roof off this place. And Altamirano's going to say, time to go get a finish. Time to go get a finish as an underdog. And if I don't, I'm going out on my shield, all right? That's the only way that it's going to happen. Fight doesn't go to a decision. Cash is plus 170 and sets the tone for the evening of a 5-0 night.
I mean, that's a good sales pitch. We'll see if I pull the trigger. Wow.
I can't even believe we're getting a we'll see after that. I thought we were going to go play the Soviets in 1980 before the for the Miracle on Ice. I thought I just gave that level of speech.
You were actually making your first argument was more compelling. What are you going to do? Sit this one out, put on your big pants and place the bet. You know, that's a more compelling argument. That's a more compelling argument to me than he's due. But you know what? Fine. We'll do it. I'm going to grow up. I'm going to be a man. I'm going to put my big boy pants on. I'm going to place the bet. And
lessons will be learned this weekend. Questions will be answered. This is it. Every flyweight under that we've taken up until this point has been in preparation for UFC Mexico City. This is not genius matchmaking by the UFC. This is otherworldly stuff. All right. Hunter Campbell's been listening to No Bets Barred. He knew we needed this. He knew we needed this to set the tone. And here we are. They've set us up with five delicious flyweight takings, and I'm taking them all.
I love the enthusiasm. I got to support my boys, so I'll be right there with you. I'm just saying, if you're following along at home, we had a conversation about Charles Johnson versus Isaac Maxim. And for a moment, for several moments, it looked like this was a destiny fulfilled. But in the end, when we said, we know what we're getting into, our faith will be tested. It was tested appropriately. And Victor Altamirano is a dude of that cloth. So I won't be shocked if this one hurts us.
That's how strong flyweight unders are in 2024, though, is that we almost got a Charles Johnson.
Charles Johnson almost got finished and almost finished. Both of them were in play.
Amazing. All right, last one on UFC Mexico City. Featherweight, Muhammad Naimov taking on Eric Silva. Right now, Naimov, big-time favorite, coming in at minus 395, Silva plus 310. I've doubted Naimov is in his first couple of fights. I guess I'm done doing that. Took Jamie Mullarky's head off.
That would hurt me.
Yeah. And then got it done against Nathaniel Wood, who was not an easy out, man. First two rounds were brilliant for him, and then hung on to survive for that third round. And
was he arguably the No Bets Barred Fighter of the Year? I mean, two underdog caches in 2023.
Oh yeah,
like,
yeah,
pretty underdog prices. Yeah. He had to have been up there.
He was considered for sure, and now he's getting Eric Silva, which feels like a step down from Jamie Mullarky and Nathaniel Wood.
It's definitely a step down.
Submission over position guy, questionable cardio, and now he's at 7,400 feet. Feels like Naimov gets it done.
I agree. The question is, can Naimov succeed when he's the favorite? You know, we've seen he can succeed when no one believes in him.
That's a good question. Yeah, he gets so pissed in the locker room that he's an underdog. He takes those superpowers out. Now he's sleeping in satin sheets as the favorite, and he can't even get up for it.
It's the Baker Mayfield issue. When people disrespect and doubt Baker Mayfield, he's coming out. He's got the chip on his shoulder. He's throwing dots. Maybe that's Muhammad Naimov. You start respecting Muhammad Naimov, you'd be like, oh, he's a minus 400 favorite. maybe lays an egg. So something to keep an eye on is all I'm saying.
I hope that's not the case because I do have Naimov parlayed up.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I got nothing on this fight because I saved the rest of my action for the wonder that is Riyadh. Whatever, Riyadh season? Is that what they're calling it, right?
That's what they call it, Riyadh season. Let's go from Mexico City across the pond, across all of Europe. It's a beautiful Riyadh, the kingdom of Saudi Arabia, where PFL Bellator, the champs versus champs, will be taking place. Not going to go through this card like we just went through the Mexico card, but I'm curious what kind of action we got down. I got two singles.
I got a lot of action.
And a parlay. Wow, really?
I got three singles and a parlay with three legs to it. I'm all over this card, my friend.
All right, let me hear it. Let's get into it.
I want to be clear. I dropped this action before I even knew about the belt with the ring insert. I feel even better because they're going to be competing so much harder to get those W's. I mean, that is an iconic accessory. Like, oh, you've got a belt. I also have a ring right here. And if I'm tired of it being on my finger, slot it right on in here.
Bingo.
We're golden.
Bingo.
So
break it down.
I want to also say, sad we're losing the Patricio Pitbull fight. That fight was just – was awesome. So it not being, because that fight is gone, right? I didn't make that up in my head.
I saw that he's fighting Gabriel Braga now.
Oh, he's fighting Gabriel Braga. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Then that's fair. I just assumed that they had gotten rid of, because the Pinedo fight fell off.
Braga's
fine, but the Pinedo fight was much, much more exciting. Kicking it off right at the top, Hinnan Fahey, Ryan Bader. It's a pick'em fight, at least when I got it. Let me pull up the odds currently, but when I had it, it was a pick'em fight.
I got it
fight.
Right here, -125, +105.
Oh, it's moved a little bit. I got Ryan Bader at -115, and I'm sticking with it. I'm a big Hinnan Fahey backer. I backed him in the championship last season, got the dub violently for us. It was awesome. But Ryan Bader can knock him out and can also just tackle him to the floor, and Fahey can't really do much about that. So I'm taking Bader. Feel good about it.
Yeah, I'm going to be going with the under 1.5 in this one.
I think it's a terrific bet.
Yeah, it got him -130. Still out there at -140. Fahey had 7 of his last 10 gone under the 1.5. Feel like with his size advantage, with everything, his game plan is going to be, let me just go blast this dude's chin off and hope for the best. And Bader is either going to stand and bang or, like you said, tackle him to the ground, and I think he's going to be able to have a lot of success once it gets to the ground.
I mean, yeah, just put those lunch boxes into him. Ryan Bader is just an outlandishly large human being in his own right. So, yeah, I think that's a terrific bet. Co-main event, Impika Sangane, PFL middleweight champion – or, sorry, light heavyweight champion, career middleweight, bumped light heavyweight, won the belt. Impressive performance all the way through last season, taking on Johnny Eblen. Some people's pick, Connor, for the best middleweight in the world. And who am I to argue with some people when they say he's the best middleweight in the world? Johnny Eblen is the first leg of my Bellator parlay.
I love it because I'm using Johnny Eblen as a leg in my Bellator parlay as well.
I mean, shout out to Impika Sangane. Honestly, just a terrific performance. We lauded it last year. To come off the Joaquin Buckley loss and to sort of turn his career around like he has in the PFL – becoming a millionaire, all that's awesome. But Johnny Eblen is just way too good at fist fighting and just not going to be much of a contest, in my opinion. So then I am looking at this and seeing the Pitbull Braga fight. I got no action on that. I would add action on Pitbull Pineda, but fight's no longer. I assume you don't have any action here?
I don't. I'm now seeing they just released a line. -150 Pitbull Braga +120.
Shit, I might end up taking Pitbull at -150. I'm not sold on Braga, really, and Pitbull. It's a little change of opponent. I think Pitbull is definitely past his best years, but he's just a much better fighter than Braga overall.
I might be talked into that one as well.
I might. I think we're probably going to get ourselves talked into that one. Minus 150 is, I would have thought he'd be at least minus two something. But I like what we're doing there. But I didn't have a bet. Now we're just going to say I'm going to take a bet. Our next one up is Ray Cooper, a two-time, I believe, PFL champion, taking on Jason Jackson, the author of one of the biggest upsets of last year when he beat Yaroslav Amosov to claim the Bellator welterweight title. Connor, this is perhaps a bit silly, but that's a big number right now out there on Mr. Ray Cooper III. Minus 450 for Jason Jackson. Comeback on Ray Cooper III is plus 350. And I'm taking a dog shot at plus 350. I could look very foolish, but, I mean, Ray Cooper just fought Derek Brunson up at middleweight. It was a weird, awful-ish fight, but there it goes. But we're still talking about a dude who has lethal power in his hands. And Jason Jackson, coming off the best performance of his career, obviously, like a sensational effort, but I've watched this dude fight a lot. He is not he's not dynamite. I mean, a lot of decisions in his career. I think Cooper does have the power to make this real risky for him. And I just don't think Jason Jackson should be that big a favorite over most people that he would reasonably be competing against at this point. So taking a big price and betting it.
I'm going to use Jason Jackson in a parlay. I really just think the size advantage that he's going to have over Ray Cooper and the wrestling advantage is going to be somewhat similar to the advantages that Derek Brunson had. And just, God, did he look great against Yaroslav
Amosov. He looked so good. Just unbelievable. Ruined my night as I had
me too.
Several parlays.
Ruined it. So yeah, there's
perhaps
that.
That's why I'm betting against him, because he burnt me and now I'm opposed to him just in total. Next fight up, Bruno Capoloza, the Bellator heavyweight champion, PFL heavyweight champion, I think in 2022, a former champion anyway, taking on former Bellator light heavyweight champion who vacated the title, didn't lose it, vacated it, Vadim Nemkov. This is a 7-fight main card, so there are a ton of these. And Connor, you're going to be shocked to hear that I believe Vadim Nemkov is much better than Bruno Capoloza, and I'll be including him in a parlay with Johnny Eblen. And one more fighter yet to come.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and agree with you on that as well. I'm going to use Vadim Nemkov in a parlay. Pound for pound, number one in the last pound for pound rankings in Bellator. Pound for pound, number one Bellator fighter. Has looked great. Has looked great since the Corey Anderson no contest. And yeah, I think he's probably just a better fighter.
I mean, I think he's definitely a better fighter. I will be interested to see what he looks like at heavyweight, but I suspect he's going to look pretty damn good at heavyweight. So easy second leg to this parlay for me. Our second to last main card fight is Thiago Santos, Yoel Romero. If you've listened to any programming on the MMA Fighting Podcast Network, any of our shows, this show, you were probably aware that there may not be a bigger Yoel Romero fan than I. I just love the man. Super old, not anywhere close to the prime of his career. I don't care. Thiago Santos has not looked good forever, and I'm back in the bowl. I'm back in my boy. You'll remember straight up plus 105, baby. I love that you're on this.
That's a Wolfpack wager right there. We got the dogs barking. I had a feeling, this is what I hinted at the beginning of the show. I had a feeling you were going to be on Yoel Romero. My reasoning, because who doesn't want to cash on 46-year-old Yoel Romero?
I think that's an exit. He's the best 46 that anyone has ever been at 46. Carved out of wood, just looking like a pile of cobblestones, just walking around out there still. He's going to throw three punches around. Yeah. But here's the thing. Thiago Santos is also going to throw three punches around. And Yoel Romero is better at doing that than Thiago Santos. This was honestly the easiest bet of this entire weekend.
Yeah, we're betting on a staring contest. So it's like the striking totals is going to be like 15 to 13. And it's going to be a 29-28 split decision. But like when Yoel gets his hand raised, it's going to be the best. Or he finishes him in the third round. Because third round Romero is, he's not 46, he's 26.
He's actually mythical fighter. He is.
Yes.
Third round Jourdain, fictional. Third round Yoel Romero, true, like a true human being.
He's arguably the greatest fighter of all time.
He is like him, first round BJ Penn. Like they're just like guys who live forever. So Had to back my boy. Our final main card fight is Clay Collard, AJ McKee. I really thought about putting AJ McKee in a parlay. I already have a three-leg parlay that's plus money. So I just kind of left him out. But I do think AJ McKee is probably worth some sort of action here, but I don't have anything down on him.
Yeah, I used AJ McKee in a parlay as well. I think it's just kind of a binary fight. I think AJ McKee is going to be able to grapple. Clay Collard, fun fights, solid boxer, not a ton of power. I think he has one knockout in like the last like 5 or 6 years. And it just feels like AJ McKee is going to be able to get this to the ground and be able to do what he wants from there. Plus, like, it just kind of feels like at the top end, the Bellator fighters are better than the PFL fighters. I mean, we saw it in Ryzen 5-0 sweep. It just feels like they're going to have a decent amount of success here.
That's absolutely true. They're better. I think this fight's fun, but AJ McKee should win it. And then I don't know if you have any other action, but the last piece of action I do have on this is the prelim main event, Aaron Pico taking on Henry Corrales. Aaron Pico is the third leg of my parlay with Eblen and Nemkov. That comes out to plus 103. I think this is honestly a pretty good fight. Henry Corrales has been around the block, like just a veteran of Bellator, frankly. So it's a little weird that it's a Bellator on Bellator.
Yeah, I was just about to say, isn't Henry Corrales Bellator and this is just Bellator versus Bellator?
It is. This is a little Bellator on Bellator crime. I guess they just didn't have anybody to give to Aaron Pico that they felt confident in, but I kind of just don't care. I will also say this is apparently being contested at lightweight, so move up for Aaron Pico. That'll be an interesting piece to this, but not so long ago, Aaron Pico was the best prospect in all of MMA. He suffered a couple of setback losses, but it really appears that he is putting all the tools that he has together. I'm going to be backing this kid a lot for the next several years, so I'm doing it again. He's the third leg of that parlay, and that's all my action on PFL Bellator. I don't know if you want to talk about Biagio Ali Walsh finally making his professional debut. Clarissa Shields. You know, Clarissa Shields coming back to the world of MMA.
Minus 455 against an 0-2 opponent.
That's absolutely, yes, I would say, I didn't take this bet because one, the vibes would be bad, but it's probably worthwhile just to throw like a buck on Kelsey DeSantis just because Clarissa Shields shouldn't be a minus 450 favorite in MMA over anyone. This ain't boxing, you know what I'm saying? But Biagio Ali Walsh being minus 1100, I chose not to make that bet. I chose not to. That was my
I think that's a good call. Could maybe chop it down with like a KO prop if there is something there. But that's the action I got. I got Yoel Romero, Bader Ferreira under 1.5. Might be adding the Pitbull bet. And then I did a four-leg AJ McKee, Nemkov, Jason Jackson, Johnny Eblen. Just the chalk donkey Bellator bet of the day.
Those have never failed us. I honestly should have just put McKee in this three-leg Bellator parlay, but I was already plus money. And four-leg parlays are really tough. I'm really tough to cash, but who am I telling?
Tough. Yeah.
Four legs are tough.
I'm a veteran to the four-leg game. All right, and that's that. Just under an hour. Nice and neat. UFC Mexico City. Bellator PFL. Life is good, baby. That's about all I got to say. We're back in the Apex.
It's
going to
get better,
though.
I say it's going to get better next week.
It always does.
Yairzinho Rozenstrike, Shamil Gaziev.
Sign me up.
Heavyweight overs, they're coming back.
Oh, God. That's going to be a tough one.
It'll be fun. It'll be an awful fight, but heavyweight overs is the only way to make that fight palatable. But that's for next week, because this week we've got good fights. We're coming off a hell of a pay-per-view. And we get the doubleheader this weekend. It's a good time right now.
They really are putting Shamil Gaziev into a main event after beating Martin Budai.
Sure.
That is insane. Vitor Petrino, Tyson.
We do have a couple of flyweight fights next week, though.
Muhammad Mahayev, I guess he's Steve Urson.
Alex Perez. Muhammad Mahayev is a terrific fight.
Umar Nurmagomedov is on this card.
Umar fighting just a dude who stepped up.
Yeah, just a random dude. Joel Alvarez, can we keep the Spanish magic going?
I mean, it's a good year for Spain, good year for Georgia.
Javid Basharat, Christian Leroy Duncan. Yeah, I've seen worse cards. Hey, Ariel's fighting. Eamon Zahabi. Nice.
It's not the worst card I've ever seen. The main event is a tough sell, but that's for next week. Let's not bring the good energy down.
Yeah, so not only that.
Pastor.
Just one last thing. I got to bring it down. It's a 6 o'clock start.
That's tough. That means we're going to be watching Jairzinho versus Shamil at like 1 in the morning.
Give me a break. Yes, tacos al pastor, maybe some tres leches.
Beans and rice. Oh, tres leches is the best idea you've ever had.
Oh, I got a whole menu. I'm going to have to narrow this bad boy down. But that's that. UFC Mexico City, PFL, Bellator out in Riyadh. Should be a great Saturday filled with a ton of fights. And next week, we'll be breaking down UFC Apex 87?
I think that's right.
Rosenstrike Gazeev. One probably like how many ranked fighters are on this card? One, there might just be like three.
They're all of the flyweights are ranked, I believe. So four, Perez, okay. Mahaev, Ursag, and Schnell, I think, are all ranked.
I don't think
Joel Alvarez was ranked at one point in time. Ursag definitely is.
Ursag is ranked now.
Ursag got ranked because he won his debut over whoever that was. Who was
sure
ranked.
Is number 12, Steve Ursag.
Who did he beat in his debut? I can't remember right now. David Dvorak. It was David Dvorak because he came in and Dvorak was like ranked 13 or something.
Huge dog.
So Ursag is definitely ranked.
Next week's definitely going to be a pick and choose on the.
Also,
on the
Rosenstrike's card. Ranked and Umar's ranked. So we got six ranked guys.
All right, nice.
Tyson Pedro, maybe? Is Pedro?
What is Alex Perez?
He's got
seven, match number nine. Muhammad, we got the 7, 8, 9, and 12th flyweights going.
We're following up this flyweight Super Bowl with some key flyweight ranked matchups in the week after. I mean, it's February is flyweights. That's what they say.
Remember, we can take the fight doesn't go to a decision on Mahaev. We cannot take the under. Three straight fights that ended between the under and the fight doesn't go to a decision.
That's a way to put that out there early. So anyone who's trying to get their early bets, they listen to this and now they know, because that's smart. I would have forgotten.
If you had just taken fight doesn't go to a decision in each of his fights, you'd be 4-1.
You'd be
dancing. But if you took the under, you're 1-4.
It's tough.
Yeah, me too. I took the under in all of them. But now we've learned. All right. Rosenstrike.
Gaziev,
next week. See you then.
Love y'all.
Media Podcast Network.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.